I know so many of you who have attended scripture classes here, and not only here, but online, and not only online, but in other places, to your credit. That's something certainly to be encouraged. St. Jerome says to be ignorant of the scriptures is to be ignorant of Jesus Christ. One of the things, consequently, that you may have picked up along the way is a Greek term called theophany. It's akin to epiphany, also Greek. Epiphany means a manifestation of light. A theophany is a revelation that is divine. And so theophanies are like, in the book of Exodus, the burning bush. And Moses walks up to this bush that, as you well know, is not being consumed by fire, and says, "Who are you?" or "What are you?" And you know that the response, according to the most translations, is, "I am who am." Terrible translation. It was translated by St. Jerome, who was a genius, patron saint of people with anger issues. He was a perfectionist and could not abide fools easily. He went through secretaries like people go through tissues with a cold. He was sent by the Pope to translate the scriptures at the time in the 4th century from Hebrew and Greek into Latin. And that was the language of the day, Latin was. And so you know, you may have at home, a Vulgate copy of the Bible. Vulgate means vulgar or common language. And every translation is an interpretation. And so the interpreter has the privilege of choosing, of many synonyms when you're translating, one it particularly appeals to his or her worldview. And because he was a perfectionist, St. Jerome was, he, and terribly esoteric, chose the strictness of a verb of being. You know, God is both a noun and a verb when you stop to think about it. And so he would say, "I am who am." The original translation in the Aramaic is, "I am what I will do for you." In other words, look at the saving actions that are about to happen. And then it follows all those events, all those doings, all those epics and episodes of what happened to free the Jews from the Egyptians. And you know that story. There's also, we just had it this past week in the daily mass readings, a theophany of Elisha trying to know what God's will was and went up on a mountaintop, so to speak, to meditate and pray. "What is your will for me to do?" Elisha, who was a prophet. And it wasn't in the earthquake that happened, it wasn't in a terrible storm that happened that he heard the voice of God, but in this whispering wind that came that instructed him to go and anoint somebody to be a king in a particular part of Israel. So those are theophanies, but they're not just referred to in those times of the Old Testament. Of course, the New Testament is full of them. There's a theophany that hangs on the cross. The person of Jesus Christ, talk about a verb of doing. And one of the things that we celebrate in salvation history is, as you know from the feast today, is the revelation that God is three persons in one. We don't exactly understand what that is. It's a mystery. Mystery means a surplus of meaning and things already understood. There's certainly things that are a surplus that we're not meant to know. We walk by faith, not by sight. You know the old story. Most of us cut our teeth on it when we were learning our Catholic catechesis about St. Augustine, a constituent of St. Jerome in the 4th century, walking along a beach, there was the sea, and he comes across a little boy that's about 5 years old. And this little tyke has this little shell, as you remember. And he's going to the sea and picking up a little cup of something, and he's going over and he dug a hole, and he was pouring the sea into the little hole. And then he'd run back and he'd do it again. And St. Augustine watched him do this. He said, "What are you doing?" Now mind, St. Augustine was taking that walk because he was pondering in his great writings. Read the Confessions of St. Augustine and his letters. They are profound. And so he was walking along the shore thinking, How can I catechize about what the Trinity is about? How do I put this logically and concretely so that it can be understood? And so he said to the little boy, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm emptying the ocean into this little hole. And Augustine laughed at the little boy, and he said, well, that's impossible. Nobody can do that with this. And the little boy, the story goes, looked at him and said, and it's just as impossible for you with your small human mind to ever be able to understand the mysteries of the Trinity. And the child disappeared. You love those Catholic stories. Of course, that has to do with, that was a theophany. The theophanies that we have today are all around us in the concrete, especially the theophany of the corpus on the cross. You know, one of the reasons that Catholics especially have a corpus on the cross, many Protestants instead just have the cross, and they will say to us, as has been said to me, why do you have that corpus, that body on the cross? He has resurrected. And we say in our apologetics that our salvation comes from the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They are a triptych. They can't be separated from each other. So when I look at the corpus on the cross, which is the center, I think of his passion, the cost of our salvation. And I realize his resurrection, the reason for our hope. But the center part of this is this love that was crucified on the cross, this incarnation of God, a second person of the Blessed Trinity, the one who was talked about in the first reading this morning from Wisdom, about how he existed before anything else did, and he lists creation. And that wisdom in the scriptures is another name for Jesus Christ before he was incarnated, as you know, even in one of the two stories in Genesis of the creation story, it is pictured that wisdom played beside God while the world was being created. So there is that image of wisdom being poured into the womb of the Blessed Mother. She's the seed of wisdom, is one of her titles. And there's a theophany in itself, that she itself is this living treasure that we have, especially in her apparitions, what are happening all over the world. She happens to be warning humankind, mankind, about corruption and serious sin and the need of conversion, the necessity for the rosary, these weapons against the devil, and these are demonic or dark times. But we walk by faith and not by sight, and we trust in the fact that we know in the end her Immaculate Heart will triumph. But in the meantime, filled with the graces of the Holy Spirit, we become this living theophany, this revelation of the divine, when we gather as the mystical body of Christ and we join the Holy Order priest in offering the cross. In the presence of the tabernacle, another manifestation of a theophany, and also always the crucifix, or should always be the crucifix, we remember that we live in this place of always offering up our sufferings, our trials, our burdens, also our gratitude, our joys, our hopes, our love, with Christ on the cross to the Father in atonement for sin in the world. The sign of the cross is the calling on the revelation of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so even when we begin our Mass, we make the sign of the cross. When a child is baptized, there's holy oil that the priest has, or the deacon, and he makes the sign of the cross on the forehead. And the priest or the deacon says, naming the child, I claim you for Christ in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then the father is asked to do that. Then the mother, I claim you for Christ, etc. Then the godparents, I claim you for Christ in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. St. Francis of Assisi, we are told in the letters of St. Francis that he could see, he who had the eyes of faith and was this living theophany himself, even having the stigmata in his body, could see the cross on the forehead of people who had been baptized. When people were in deep sin, it was very faded. When they were in the state of grace, it was very bright, which is why he would tell people often to go to confession and would tell Franciscans thereafter to preach about the sacrament of penance. Therein we have confessions here after every Mass. It is the Franciscan charism. And speaking of confession, when you are absolved, you are absolved in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When you receive Holy Communion, you are to make the sign of the cross once you have received our Lord, and you go back and you meditate on this wonderful, what's the term, seventh gift of the Holy Spirit, wonder and awe at this ferocious love that God has for us. It is like that fire in the burning bush. It is supposed to set us on fire, if you will, a certain zeal instead of tepidity. And even when we feel tepid or lazy or slothful or whatever, we know that there is a community around us that is praying that we might be filled with fire. Maybe we have to carry that burden somehow of some unhappiness. It is atonement for sin. And we bring that here and we offer it up, our joys and our sufferings with Christ on the cross, to the Father in atonement for sin. And then whenever you're confirmed, the bishop puts holy oil and says, you're sealed with the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When you are married, and the priest or the deacon is witnessing that, when you put your wedding rings on, he said, I pledge my love to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Tip of the finger to the knuckle to the palm. We are married in the sign of the cross, the sign of the Trinity. When one is ordained, you are ordained with the sign of the cross. There is oil put on your forehead and on your hands, and the bishop makes the sign of the cross. Also, whenever we're anointed with the sacrament of the sick or extreme unction when they're dying, the sign of the cross with holy oil, again, on the forehead and the palms of the hands. By this sign, we are saved. What do you remember from your childhood? And I don't know that it's been passed on in recent years, sad to say. When you drove by a Catholic church or you walked by a Catholic church, what were you supposed to do? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, or in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Why? Why were you making a sign of the cross? Because the real presence of Christ in the tabernacle was in that church, and you were honoring him. You were saying, I believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ. It is an act of faith. Sometime, if you were with your friends, you might do a real quick like this sort of thing that we do whenever we're in a restaurant. But sometimes sports figures do that kind of thing, but you catch the drift. They're making the sign of the cross, but it's an act of faith. We are saved by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And just finally, I'd remind you, remember, at every Mass, we address the Father. At every Mass, all the prayers are to the Father. When we say Lord, we're referring to the Father. Some particular prayers, when it's time to mention Jesus Christ, that name is said. But understand that the reason that Jesus came is to tell us about the Father. The reason that the Holy Spirit was given to us then, particularly our baptism, is so we come to know Christ is going to tell us about the Father. Everything is in service to the Father. And I remind you of what St. Padre Pio said to people in confession when they came in and someone irked them, or they were angry at someone, or someone wounded them, or hurt them, or betrayed them, or all those things that go on in life. Or that they were in love and they've discovered something about God, or they came into a realization of a gift that they have that they didn't realize, or they accomplished something that they thought might be possible. It's a time to bless the Lord, but always, even in the dark times, to bless the Lord and to bless those people in our imaginations, particularly that we're wounding as well as that we're loved. He said, as a baptized person, you have a great power of blessing people. And so in your imagination, Padre Pio would say, think of that person, living or deceased, who harmed you or who did a great favor for you or helped you to realize something wonderful that really impacted your life. Picture them and you say I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He'd say, then do it again. Then do it again. And he'd say, the blessing that you send out comes back to you twofold. And so I'd like to bless you because I'd like to receive twofold. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the church says,